This episode of IREM Today is brought to you by O'Leary Law Associates, offering clients the benefit of over 60 years of combined legal experience in real estate, litigation, commercial, probate, trust, and estate planning matters. To consult with O'Leary Law Associates, please call 401-615-8584 or visit them online at O'LearyLaw.com.
Now on AM 790, it's time for IREM Today, the property management show with hosts Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian. Join them now for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your hosts, Dina and Chrissy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, today is Tuesday, March 21st, and it is 4:06 p.m. Welcome to the IREM Today Show, the property management show here on AM 790. I am Dina Cimarelli here in the studio today, live with my co-host, Chrissy Denalian.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are
what
you?
What a beautiful day out.
And actually, I don't have a instead I didn't have a coat on today.
Yeah, instead of last week.
Amazing.
We had a little hiatus.
We had a, yeah, we did. Oh, yeah.
Last week was a hiatus,
to put it politely. And we have our honorary co-host in the house today, Jack Benz.
How you doing, all?
How you doing, Jack? Welcome back.
I'm doing great. Every day I get up, it's a great day. I'm telling you,
I love it. Well, what did you say earlier today? Why is today such a great day?
I got up above ground, which is absolutely fantastic.
That is a good day as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely. So in case you're tuning in for the first time and you're just wondering what IREM Today is, we are your live local radio show, like I said, here every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we do know that there are a lot of these fund syndicated programs on this radio station.
We're not one of them.
We're not one of them, Jack.
But we're better.
We are better.
Absolutely.
I like
we're
that.
Live.
What else are we?
Moderately entertaining?
Get rid of moderately.
Yeah.
You sell us short every week.
I need a little more confidence.
You need a little more enthusiasm.
Fantastically enjoyable.
Thank you.
Yeah,
see,
you're welcome.
I don't know.
See,
I think I'm getting replaced.
I was just going to say, he's not going to be honorary too much longer.
I mean,
You're being replaced, woman.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
I'm out.
I don't know.
So, because we are not one of these syndicated programs, that means you can call us locally, right, Chrissy?
You can.
And what's
you can reach out to us at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790.
You can call us
anytime.
Call us. We like talking to people.
We do. And speaking of talking to people,
yes.
We're going to have a great guest today.
We are.
We're going to have Mayor Fung from Cranston.
That's right.
He's on his way in now.
Yes.
So when he comes in, we'll talk to him in a little bit. We got a lot of great questions for him. We're looking forward to having some great conversation with Mayor Fung.
And if you have any questions, you can call in too.
Yeah, if you have any questions for Mayor Fung, you can call in.
Absolutely.
Right?
He'd be more than happy to answer them.
See
I'm
that?
Sure. Especially the people from Cranston.
I'm here. I'm already here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
she's
already
here,
repping Cranston.
I'm already here, Jack.
Well, I wasn't even mentioning you.
Are you just going to represent
other people?
All of Cranston.
Are you the only person in Cranston?
I mean, sometimes I feel like no.
So he's just your mayor.
Did you just get elected then?
Yes. He's my mayor.
Well, because she got kicked off of the radio show.
Right.
So now she's.
I need a secondary job.
There you go. That's right. Got to feed the pocketbook.
You do.
Right?
Right.
Absolutely.
So
wait, this is a paid gig?
No. Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, that's right. So, again, if you're wondering what IREM stands for, IREM stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management. We are the most professional group in the country for managing real estate. Right, Chrissy?
Yes, we are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. So if you manage an elderly housing building or maybe you manage a single family home or a tenement building, the Institute of Real Estate Management is for you. If people that
it's also,
are,
excuse me, it's also for commercial property, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You were going to get to that, right?
Calm down, Jack.
Okay.
I mean, he's really just trying to take over my whole job here. Should I just pack up my bags now?
Yeah,
and
I
leave?
Think at the break, Chrissy won't be returning
oh,
us when we come
gosh.
Back in.
Oh, my gosh. This
I don't have enough gas to get here every week. So.
If you're looking for a career in property management or you're looking for something different or you want to have some kind of training or some kind of education or even a designation that you can be recognized as professional property manager. And what kind of designations do we have? What's the first designation that we have?
So we have two.
Yes.
First, we have the ARM, which stands for the Accredited Residential Manager, which you are.
I am.
You are.
I am.
And then we also have the Distinguished
CPM.
We do.
Certified Property Manager.
That's exactly the Cadillac.
It is the Cadillac.
I like the
Cadillac. We couldn't remember what you had said.
We like
that. It's
like
a Harvard education
in
the real estate business.
And you're a CPM, correct?
Absolutely.
You are.
Yes, I am.
Now, you have to continue that license, that designation, do you have to annually take some sort of a test, or once you get it, you get
once
it?
Once you get it, you get it.
You get
but
it.
It's always, we always have
gets harder as you go along.
Yes.
And we have, you know, we have educational process and we have education
to
courses
keep it,
that
yes.
we keep it, yes.
Are those mandatory courses throughout the year that you have to take, or?
No.
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 So basically...
It's like going to college and getting a Harvard degree, and you never have,
never
to,
have
go back,
to go back to right? school. Well, I guess that really
because
is equivalent
then
to a Harvard degree.
You go out into the field and you learn what the real
hands-on
world is really
knowledge.
Like.
Hands-on knowledge, correct. Yeah. I like yeah. it. And locally, Chrissy, we are known as the Greater Rhode Island Chapter 88.
We are.
We are.
So we're not just Rhode Island.
We're not.
We're great. We're great Rhode Island. Great.
By the way, there's one other designation for companies.
There is. What's AMO.
The, AMO. What is
did
that?
I get, did I go to Gold Star for today?
Absolutely. Right there. Right on the wall.
What does AMO stand for?
Accredited Management Organization.
Ah. So that's for...
That is difficult. That's for companies.
Yeah, that's for companies.
PSRNIS. Yep.
Oh, of course. Of course, PSRNIS.
PSRNIS. We like to have all of our people go, too, for the AMM,
I went to lunch today with this woman, Anna Serrano. She works for POA Communities. She's a property manager for a few of their properties in Providence. And she said... You know, that breakfast that you guys, you know, we just had for IRM, because she mm-hmm. is starting to interview the applicants for the ARM designation. So that's what she's doing. And I think she said
she was interviewing somebody from my company.
Alicia or something like
Alicia.
That. Alicia. Yeah. So she goes, at the breakfast that we just had at the 1149 when Chris Mellon was speaking, she said there was like six people getting the ARMs, and I think five were from PSRN.
Yes,
and I'm like,
there were quite
they
a few.
Just dominate.
We had two tables of PSRN people that had already had either their ARM
listen,
or CPM.
If REMPAC doesn't work
ARM.
Out, I think I know where I'm going.
Yeah, you're going to
uh-oh.
PSRN.
I might be going to PSRN.
Going to PSRN, absolutely.
Yep.
Seems inevitable, I'm telling you.
So now this kind of brings us into the next, you know, little spiel that we do. So
yes.
if somebody walks into your place of business and they state that they're a CPM and that they're looking for work, right away,
just hire them
what
on
do
the
you
spot.
Know? Right
just
away.
You know that they're backed with a code of ethics. Mm-hmm. You know that they have the tools, training, and tips already.
That's right.
And if not, they're available to them even through the IRM website.
They are.
And you
and
just want to hire them on the spot.
You do.
Right?
So I would actually need to... I would not get the position if somebody with a CPM walked in.
I mean,
in next
you're
week.
Like an honorary CPM ARM. You're here enough
there
weeks.
There are the designations.
She,
yeah.
I like that.
she
yeah. I like
she
that.
Kind of
emeritus
is.
Emeritus.
I like
she's
that.
She's like a harm. A honorary.
A harm. I don't know if I like the word harm after my name, but honorary. Okay, I'll take that. So now let's talk a little bit about, you know, trying when we acquiring these designations, IRM actually offers a scholarship fund.
Yes. And it covers up to 75% of the cost of the whichever designation you are going for.
Yes.
So if you wanted to get the ARM or CPM, you know, there is a cost associated with that. But when you go online, you can, I mean, when we went to that first breakfast, their annual breakfast of the year, we have mm-hmm. a lot of breakfasts.
Yes, I like breakfast.
They were mentioning that
they want to give
they
away
the
give money.
The money away. So,
yes.
You just have to go right online, fill out the scholarship right online.
Yep.
Scholarship application. There's a letter of recommendation, and you can just submit it. And I mean,
and that'll definitely help alleviate some of those costs.
Yep.
I mean, to only be responsible for 25 cents.
25 cents. Even better.
25%. Jack's size just widened. Can we delete that?
Yeah, I think we should because people pick up.
25 cents. Yeah. We just heard it on the radio. It must be real.
It's got to be real. You heard it on
well,
the radio.
Well, it's not on the internet. It's the radio. So right. if it was the internet, then it would be real.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, to only be responsible, and whether if your company is not willing to pay for it, you can pay for it out of pocket. You can get it even if you're not backed by a
company.
If your company
did want to back you, but maybe they didn't have the budget quite to back you, you can apply for the scholarship still and get it at the low bottom price of 25%.
That's fantastic.
So that's a wonderful thing that we offer. We have a couple of events that raise money for those scholarships.
Yes.
One being our golf tournament and the other one being our wine
our
event.
Our wine event.
In the fall.
When's the golf tournament? It should
be
coming
up shortly. It's June 12th, I think. I want to say it's June 12th. It's the 6th and it's a Tuesday. So we have to kind of figure
June
out.
June 6th?
June 6th, yeah.
June 6th.
It's a Tuesday. I don't know where it's going to be held this year. Last year it was at Pawtucket Country Club, which was really nice. We had a great time. It was a very long day. I
but
golfed.
It's always fun.
You golfed?
I did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where'd you shoot?
In the woods somewhere. No, I don't know. I don't know what my I have no idea. It was the second time I ever golfed in my life.
That's
and it
okay.
was best ball. And they actually used my ball two times.
That's important.
That right? And I played with like a real deal golfer and his father, the Cannings, you know, Bill and Dave Canning.
Bill Canning.
Yes.
Oh,
so
just threw his name out there.
Yeah,
like,
well,
he's not a good golfer.
No. No, Bill and Dave, they're amazing.
Dave is a good golfer.
That's who I'm talking about.
Wow.
Yeah, so I got to be able to use my ball.
So if you're interested in any of the designations, or if you are interested in any of the events that are coming up, we always talk about our association executive.
Yes, Karen Cuddle.
She is wonderful.
Karen, I just saw today she's heading to New York for the IRM regional conference.
It's an IRM regional conference in New York.
Yes, in New York, so that's where she's headed.
For the next couple of days.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
and
if you did want to call her.
If you did want to call her, you can reach her at 401-479-7734. And definitely get in touch with Karen. She's very responsive, and she will definitely get right back to you. And speaking of getting right back, we're actually going to take a little break. You're listening to IRM Today, the Property Management Show.
All right. It is 4:20 here on IRM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Danalian, along with my co-host, Dina Cimarelli.
Hi.
Say hello.
Hello.
Say hello, Dina.
Hello, Dina.
Live here in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5. We also have Jack Benz in the studio.
How you doing?
Advisory Group. And Mayor Fung made it right on time. Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect
Hi,
timing.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Welcome to the
Thanks
show.
Thanks for coming.
Nice to meet you
Nice to meet you as well.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, absolutely. Jack, anything for you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I really appreciate that. All right. Obviously, there's a couple of questions that we'd like to ask you, and obviously about the city of Cranston and possibly what your future plans might be. But starting off with the growth in the city of Cranston seems to be exploding lately.
And it's all due to Mayor Fung.
What is the reason, right? I mean, obviously, cooperation between departments and et cetera, and also from a leadership standpoint. So
We've got a lot of great things going on. And, in fact, we almost caught Warwick as the second largest city, missed by about 500 residents.
Really?
So there's
wow.
a lot of growth going on in both our residential base. People are really, you know, finding out what a great place to live, work, and play,
yes.
and all the amenities that Cranston has going
and
on.
And you and I Mayor Avedisian are at odds as to whether or not the last five people are going to come your way or his way.
That's
so,
right. We got this little running bet. I always joke with Scott where, you know, he's got the 20,000 license plate for the second largest city. I've got the 30,000. When I overtake him, we're going to be on the Patuxent Bridge handing over the license plates.
That's fantastic.
It's fun.
That's kind of interesting. What do you attribute that to? I mean, cooperation between departments or?
A lot of stability. Uh-huh. I think one of the things that whether you're a resident or a business owner, developer, that you really want to see is stability in government and knowing that your mayor, your city council, all the departments are working together with your best interests in mind. You know, when I first took office 8 years ago, I can't believe it was 8 years ago, you know, we were in a financial mess.
I know.
You know, I left with the deficit that the last mayor had, you know, brought upon us. So schools were in multi-million dollar deficits. We had this long pension problem that had been lingering for not just one administration, but numerous. We just rolled up our sleeves, did the right thing, tackled that pension with the pension reform, you know, made cuts in the budget, made a lot of hard decisions. But most importantly, we worked with the business owners, the developers, to say, you've got a partner that understands the private sector. You know, my family were small business owners in Cranston. Mm-hmm. So I knew about some of the bureaucratic nightmares that people, average citizens, went through, never mind business owners. So I made a commitment to everyone that I wasn't going to be like that. You know, we established a concierge-type service out of business development so that, you know, my economic development would lead a team of people that can walk people through their projects, spot issues ahead of time so they can get a shovel in the ground quicker mm-hmm. without having to jump through 1,000 hoops. And that type of partnership leads to a lot of trust among a lot of business owners.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. You know, there's some kind of a, I don't want to call it a dark cloud, but I think coming over the horizon and something that may or may not come to fruition is the car tax. What is your opinion relative? Obviously, it's going to have an impact on all municipalities, depending on how the formula is finally worked out and what the percentages are. Some is going to be affected kind of extensively, and others are going to be minuscule, but that's a tax issue, I think, overall.
It's a tax issue, and it doesn't have to be that complicated.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I know is all residents of Rhode Island hate that car tax.
Oh, right.
Because they're getting that bill.
The worst.
It is the worst.
It's the worst.
It's the worst. Off of nothing.
And it impacts everyone.
Yeah, it does, yes. Yeah.
And you can't figure out how the state sets the values.
Right.
But for me, I heard it on the campaign trail. We certainly know Speaker Mattiello heard it in that race in Cranston.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah. And 85 made, votes.
Absolutely.
Close, yeah.
And he made a commitment, and I'm glad to hear that he made a commitment to phase it out. Yeah. And I'm supporting his concept and his plan that would fully fund back out the exemption that's on the car tax so that cities and towns aren't in a position where there's winners and losers. They're getting back every single dollar from the state because we all know every city and town took it on the chin, you know, years ago when they took out away general revenue, the car tax, and every other, you know, bucket of dollars that we get. So if you fully, you know, fund that exemption like what was promised originally in the past, it doesn't create a situation of winners and losers. It's a simple way that it just those dollars get passed back on to our residents, our taxpayers, and phases it out. And that's one of the things I'd love to see.
Yeah, and so would the residents, for sure.
You're looking at phasing it, or you're looking at one-shot deal, because if it's a one-shot deal, it's about, I'm guessing, nobody really knows, but let's say it's $230 million.
Yeah.
All right, that's a big shot.
That's a big shot. So, and I think under the speaker's proposal, he was talking about phasing it out over a five-year period. Because look, 200, you know, whether that number was 230, 220 million, whatever, it's still a large number.
Yes.
And if you do it in a responsible way, phase it out, I think a lot of the taxpayers will appreciate just that gradual
reduction.
Well,
they're going to see their bill just going lower. When I used to live in North Providence and we had phased it out years ago, just to get your quarterly statement and see it drop by hundreds of dollars, you were like, thank God there's an end in sight.
Right.
And it just slowly just depleted.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that, you know, no matter how you get there, I know the residents and the taxpayers will appreciate when they stop paying that tax. And that's, you know, for me, the simplest way to do it without impacting, creating a situation of pitting one town versus another because of the values of the cars.
Yes,
and it
right.
gets more complicated
yes.
under the governor's proposal. And that's why I'd rather see what the speaker's doing. It's easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to explain to the residents and
yes.
the taxpayers. Because the bottom line is, they're not going to be paying it.
Yeah.
Being practical, but let's say that they phase it out, period. And it costs the state $230 million, all right? And they don't, they just phase it out so you don't have to pay it. And they're not going to pay you guys anything, you guys meaning the cities and towns.
Right.
Would you anticipate a property tax increase in your municipalities, or would that be
not
something?
Not if you phase out the exemption, because say, for instance, Cranston is approximately $20 million.
Right.
$20 million, if that comes from the state, we just pass that along to the taxpayers. We're
right.
not losing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're getting that money back from the state of Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no loss
there's
to
no
this.
There's no loss. It's like
correct.
A transfer.
It's just a
yeah,
transfer
just a
that
transfer.
Passes through.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds logical, but you never know. Is there any property tax increase on the boards for you guys in Cranston, or is that something?
Stop jinxing it, Jack.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez,
no, it's
next question.
I'm going around the
you know, one of the things that I've really watched is trying to keep the line on property tax as best possible, and we've been successful at it. 4 out of the last 5 years, we have not had to raise property taxes,
oh, that's great.
And still running surpluses. That's what efficient leadership is supposed to be about.
Yes. With all due respect, Your Honor, I'm asking from a provincial standpoint more than anything else.
No, and I get it, because taxes are a big issue. You know, we're looking at our budget right now. We're meeting with our department directors. We do zero-based budgeting year by year. What you really need,
yes.
not what you want.
Yeah.
And just like what we do in our own households.
Exactly.
And that's the type of, you know, policies and initiatives we brought to government in Cranston. And it's how it should work at our state level, at our federal level.
Yeah.
Because we've all heard those stories about, you know, some of the spending that's out there that's out of control.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We've got to rein it in during these tough times. And that's my commitment to the taxpayers of Cranston. Year by year, we'll look at what we truly need. But one of the things I'm proud of and why we're growing as a city and why we've been named for 3 years in a row one of the best places to live in America,
that's
next
crazy.
To Charleston.
Yeah,
you know,
I brought
that
up
on
the radio.
She
the
did.
Yeah,
Chrissy brought it up.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's
mm-hmm.
This year we rated right next to Charleston, South
mm-hmm.
Carolina. That's a great distinction.
That's amazing.
But a lot of it is because we're doing the right thing. But taking those savings that we've had from a lot of, whether it was the pension reform, the cuts that we've made, and reinvesting it back into our taxpayers. We're, you know, doing playgrounds. We're making sure that the parks are nice. We're upkeeping our roads. And, you know, we just floated a question to our taxpayers to double the amount of roads over the next 5 years that we're going to do, investing that back into our infrastructure and holding the line on taxes.
And you have a sufficient rainy day fund, I understand.
We have the largest rainy day fund of any city and town in Rhode
Island. I wish it was on the radio and it was TV and you could see just how happy he is when he said that.
Excuse me for a minute. Could you get the mayor off the table?
Yeah, but I'm proud of that fact because it shows we're healthy. But one of the things I have refused to do is, you know, even if, like, say, we just heard with the snow budget, we're over budget right now because of all the most recent storm put us over. But I'm not just going to tap into the rainy day fund as the easy way out. I'm going to make it up in all the areas of the budget. And if we can't make it up, that's when you go into the savings, your savings account, for a one-time emergency expenditure, not for normal everyday stuff.
Right. Okay. All right, Mayor Fung, we're actually going to cut for a second. We're going to let you gloat about your surplus and your rainy day fund.
Let him gloat.
We're
going
to let you gloat, and it's a great stuff. And we'll be back right after this. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show.
Now back to IREM Today, the Property Management Show, with your hosts, Dina Cimarelli and Chrissy Denalian on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, it is 4:34 here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show. I'm Chrissy Denalian, along with my co-host, Dina Cimarelli. We're live here in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5.
You're going to say Friday,
aren't
you?
I don't know what day it is.
Wrong day. Let me take over.
Yes, maybe you should. No.
So we are joined today in our studio with our honorary co-host, Jack Benz.
Hello.
Hello. And we have the pleasure of having Mayor Fung from Cranston in the studio today.
Hello, everyone.
Yes. So Jack was drilling Mayor Fung about property taxes before we left.
with regard to property taxes and housing, affordable housing in your community is something that I know there's a 10% requirement, and I still don't understand how that 10% requirement ever evolved, but I understand there's quite a few abandoned houses in Cranston, and you have a program. Or you're looking at a program, or putting together a program, or is there a program? And there's some other follow-up questions that I would have after you kind of answer the
depends
first three,
on what you
three
say.
Parts.
No problem. No problem. But yeah, actually, Cranston does a pretty good job with making sure we comply with the state requirements, and we're over our affordable limit because we also have a high number of apartment rentals throughout, you know, that eastern part of the city, which tends to be, you know, more urban type of an area. Plus, we also have a lot of senior and elderly high rises, which counts towards that, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the city has a different type of population, and we're there trying to reflect the need that's, you know, provided to many of our residents. But, you know, Jack, when you're talking about the abandoned houses, fortunately for us, you know, we don't have as many as what you're seeing in some of the other areas. But
Providence, Pawtucket,
Central
Falls.
Yeah, you have a lot of that. And I think that's just a natural result of what happened nationally with the economy, with some of the people not being able to afford their homes, either walking away or just, you know, having a home that they couldn't afford in the first place with the no-income verification. That left a lot of leaders like myself and other leaders, especially in some of the urban areas, with, you know, a lot of properties that were abandoned. What we decided to do is we do have a program that's part of our community development monies that we utilized in the community development department, where it's a revolving loan where we take some of the federal dollars that we have, purchase a home that may be abandoned or some home that needs like some fixing up, purchase the home, fix it up, and then sell it back at, you know, workforce housing type prices so that it's affordable for those first time home buyers,
That
are looking, you know, for the home. And then the proceeds from that sale are then reinvested back into that revolving loan so that hopefully we can do another home,
keep rehabbing.
And I think that's a, you know, great, you know, better way to utilize that money instead of just giving one time dollars here and there that might not.
Do you have some, what are the, if you don't off the top of your head know it, but what are the income requirements do you have, and a down payment? So do you have a department you can reference that could somebody could call so they could possibly avail themselves of some...
Yep. A lot of those homes, whenever we do it, it's our community development department. We work in conjunction with CCAP, Comprehensive Community Action Program. The two of them work together to try to set up, and probably those are the two departments that are best to call. CCAP's not a city department, outside agency. We work closely with them on a lot of need within the community. They can set what the guidelines are for individuals that may qualify, what the income guidelines are, what the dollar thresholds are for, you know, that program, and when the next home might become available. So that's one thing. But one of the things we also offer through community development to help many individuals during their times of need, whether it's for a first-time home buyer, there are certain individuals that may qualify for, you know, homeowners assistance that can get that down payment assistance. We also have programs that can help people with, you know, heating assistance during the winter. So there's a lot of different programs that we offer to help residents in need within our community. Community development has a lot of those eligibility programs out there. Call them, or you can find some of the information off the city's website under community development.
So call City Hall is basically what you're referencing.
City Hall, right, call City Hall. Go to our website, look up community development, and many of the people in that department can let you know about all the different programs that are available.
Gotcha. No, that's good. I want a couple of other questions, obviously. Obviously, the governor has proposed a program for college. I've heard various reports saying it's not free. Is it free? It's not free. There's another burden on the taxpayer. I don't know whether or not that's the way to go. Depending on who you listen to and depending on what radio station you listen to or what newspaper you pick up, CCRI graduates 10% of the people that start, or is it 50% of the people that start? I don't know. I'm kind of confused as a taxpayer. All right. I don't know what your opinion would be on relative to the funding, lack of funding, lack of attention being paid to the entire program process.
One thing I've learned in life, especially from my parents, that they taught me and ingrained in me from a young age, is there's nothing in life that's free.
Weren't we just having this conversation before we went live today?
Yeah, because, you know, growing up, you know, parents had their restaurant. No one gave them any. They had to work and save to start their restaurant. I grew up in that restaurant, and someone's got to pay for it. And this kind of misnomer of a free education, nothing in, you know, that's not even free, because it's probably more aptly called taxpayer finance education, because we as taxpayers are the ones funding for it. And those dollars that the governor is proposing, I'd rather see that invested back in K through 12 education, because we were talking about graduation rates. One of the problems that I see, and I heard from many college professors as well as some of the college presidents in the past, is the problem with many of the students coming out of our high schools not being ready for college. They have to be in remedial programs, whether it's for English, arithmetic, because they're not ready. And until we get the foundation set, I'd rather have those any extra dollars reinvested into the core educational program so they have the sound building blocks to be ready for college before we start adding new programs for, let's face it, and call it what it is, political purposes.
Well, I'm looking at CCRI, and what I've heard with no verification or validation is that CCRI is like a, what, 13th and 14th year of high school, all right, because they haven't had the training in the lower grades. And, you know, we're involved with the home builders and a number of other groups with CTE, and you have to start down in the second, third, fourth, fifth grade, because by the time they get up to the 12th grade,
it's too late.
So CCRI, I don't know what their process is or what their programs are, but it just seems to me that what you said a moment ago would be very, very apropos relative to they have to be trained when they get out of the 12th grade to start some kind of academics toward URI. 2 years of, you know, I don't want secondary schooling, but, you know, that would what it would
or
be, actually, if you don't. So, I mean, it doesn't seem practical at the moment, unless somebody can show me and other people what exactly it should entail.
I agree. And for me, you know, I think a better way to do it isn't to give away 2 years of free college education and then not even have that individual make a commitment to come back to Rhode Island, I think the better way to do it is, you know what, we all had to take college loans. Why not take out a college loan and do it as whether, you know, if you're coming back to Rhode Island to work, take a credit off of your income tax. That way you're in Rhode Island, you're working, and then you're getting on the back end. I'd rather lose income on the back end that way, but at least that individual is contributing back into our economy, working here, staying here, living here, you know, rather than doing it that way. Or do some type of loan forbearance for each year that you're here working in part of Rhode Island economy.
Absolutely.
You know, those are more realistic ways to help people rather than giving something free. And then, you know, look, let's face it, we all love to hear free, but if I was a URA grad, I'm going to take my free 2 years and then go to California, go to New York, go to Florida, where there's more jobs.
More opportunities.
More opportunities.
Question, Your Honor, obviously.
Sorry, Jack. That's okay. We have to, I'm sorry, I know that you want to take over my job over here, but we actually have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back right after this. You're listening to IRAM Today, the Property Management Show. All right, it is 4:47 here on IRAM Today, the Property Management Show. Time is just flying, Jack.
Flying by, I'm telling you guys. We're doing well here.
I know, flying by. That's what happens when you have such a full crowd in the
Absolutely. Studio. Absolutely, that's what makes it happen.
Today is a full house. Six, is that the most we've had in here?
I think
six?
So.
I think we maxed out
It's pretty warm in here.
Time.
It's getting a little hot in here. But we were just talking actually at the commercial break because I was misinformed on what was happening in the city of Cranston as far as properties going up, because we were talking. Actually, you could probably beat Mayor Avedisian once one of these properties go up, right?
There you go.
We're getting 500 more residents.
We'll
get you five new residents. See that?
So we were talking about new properties because this show is about property management. It's always interesting to see what's going up and new developments in the area. And we were talking about, I personally thought that the property next to the ice rink had actually gone through, but I didn't,
I think we all did, really.
Yeah, the property next to the ice rink isn't residential anymore. That was an older concept that I think the Prakashanti group at one point in time was trying to look to do high-end
that
apartments.
That was a great project.
Yeah, unfortunately,
Jack wanted to move there.
And unfortunately, a lot of the neighbors came out against it. Not only traffic, but they thought it was going to be low income, you know, Section 8 type housing, which wasn't the case at all. Because, you know, I know Jim, he does excellent work and he had a different concept. But, you know, that proposal was shut down. But what's going on in there is actually a little bit more of a commercial development, sort of like a higher end storage facility that's going to be going there. Mm-hmm. I think the market that they're looking to is sort of like classic cars, storage, that type of product.
Is that right?
So it's a little bit different. So not your average student type storage that goes in. I know there
it's
was
a good
also,
area for that too.
Yeah, it's a good area. It's a little different complement, so it's not going to be a lot of traffic going in. Hopefully some. You know, there's talk about a daycare going in into that area as well. So they're clearing out a lot of the land and going through that process.
So
right
there's commercial property in there too, besides the storage facilities, then, from what you're indicating.
Yes. Yes. You know, so there's different. I know that they had to go through to allow for the daycare too. They had to go back in front of the council to allow that.
Yeah,
so
because
there's different.
That's a really regulated industry. I mean, really. We was in it one time, but. And Freddie's property, what's the status of Freddie's property?
So that's off of Situate Avenue
for our
listeners that aren't unfamiliar with the area, the high rise that's going on.
Or Freddie is Carpinato.
Carpinato.
You might not know who Freddie is.
That's right. Very casual.
Yeah.
Whoever.
I don't think there's five people in the state that doesn't know Freddie.
And, you know, Mr. Carpinato has that property on Situate Ave. It's actually close to, on the same side as Situate Vista, which is property that he also currently owns and manages right now, not too far across, diagonally across from Cedar Crest. But they're in the process of doing some higher-end apartments on the left-hand side, putting in a lot of residential units. In fact, they've started clear-cutting some of the trees and moving forward at some point.
So have they broke ground there at all, or just clearing?
They've cleared a lot. I drove by there actually last week, and I saw that they've started to clear some of the lot.
That's exciting.
And we were talking about this. They need a special height permit, but...
Yes. They need a special, and that went through in front of the council. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of that is moving forward. You know, the city's going to be working with him because there's also, you know, some, you know, sewer drainage issues that we're going to have to, you know, work through. So, you know, that's one of the things that's going to add a lot more excitement, a lot more residences there. And we have seen some more, you know, residential development that's going on. You know, just jumping back to Garden City,
yeah.
everyone forgets that St. Mark's School
right.
is now you know, nice apartments yeah. and some condos yes. that was, you know, at one point vacant. But that's what happens when you have great developments mm-hmm. going on, because mm-hmm. you got a good school in the back with Garden City School. You got some nice, you know, playground areas. You got the church that's still there.
Yes.
But what's also happening exciting is because they were doing that new development there, the owners of Garden City Apartments, as you're entering into mm-hmm. Garden City on the left-hand side over there,
yes. upgraded.
They were forced to yes. upgrade, too, because it's a market, you know, competition.
What is that? Those right. 45 Pop Lofts are back there. What's that, 125 Midway is the other one?
Yes.
Is that the other
yep.
one?
Exactly.
Yes.
So it's forcing
Dina knows the market.
Guys. Absolutely knows the market.
I sell advertising to rental properties, so
oh,
that's my
okay.
my you know purpose in all this. But Garden City happens to be one of my clients,
sure.
and then I know when the other two properties are being built and coming in, you know,
you gotta
up your curb appeal.
Yeah,
you
right.
you gotta
absolutely
right, you gotta do
it's
it.
Competition. That's what the free market does,
yes.
and that's what's exciting to see.
Yeah, because it's like a battle.
It's like a little battle,
and everybody just raises all the value, and everybody's happy around
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, and yeah. everyone that's living in Garden City, your home values are going up. But it's not even just that central part of the city. It's bleeding out into
yeah.
all different parts of the city. You know, we're even seeing a lot more activity now along Ralph Square. You know,
yes.
a lot more
Dave's.
Restaurants come.
Dave's
Market.
Yeah. So excited about Dave's.
I'm dying for
Dave's.
Dave's.
My mother's been dying for Dave's to come to Branson.
I love their steak tips, and now
right.
I can just like
pizza.
Walk from City Hall and their
right.
pizza. Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
I have one last question.
All right,
sorry,
one last
very excited about Branson.
38 Studios. What's your opinion about 38 Studios? Obviously, you are in a position of authority.
Jack, just bring the whole show down with 38 Studios. Jeez.
You know, I hate to bring it up, but
exciting food, and then all of a sudden, 38 Studios.
It is one of my pet peeves. I said, forget it. It's over. It's done. Put it to bed. Go away. It's killing the state from the standpoint of doing anything constructive. And I say, you know, the general population, a certain portion of it, right, take the position that we don't want any government involved in any development, which is absolutely positively wrong.
That's wrong. And one of the things that, you know, with 38 Studios, it's a pet peeve to many Rhode Islanders, especially the cost of it. But the bottom line is, and that's why I support an independent investigation. And so I've
did it
even when I ran for governor, you know, called for that, because the bottom line is, unless the Rhode Island taxpayers get some trust, get some full disclosure of what happened, who knew what, when, where, why, and how their taxpayers were spent or misspent, mm-hmm. you're always going to have that phobia of, or that retrenchment back into, you can't do another deal.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's what I'm saying.
If you learn
Gun
from
shy.
The lessons of the past,
right.
and then, you know, evolve it so that the next project doesn't fall on the same path, you build that trust. And, you know, the other thing that you got to do is just, you know, have that trust and stability, and that's what I've built up in Cranston. That's why we're seeing all of the great projects and
yes.
all the great, you know, man, my mouth was watering from all the food talk.
Yeah, right.
But that's where you get businesses wanting to come because absolutely. They trust in your government.
Oh,
so
yeah.
release the stuff that is being held up now in the courts. And
release it, and, you know, let's learn from all of those mistakes and move forward.
That's and with that being said, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, you said future plans. What is your stay tuned? Is that that
he,
what we should
he's
look
not
forward to?
Stay tuned.
He's
I'll give you. I'll tell you
he
what. Let me draw response
go.
Number 790 standard
I know.
Response.
I know.
I love the job. I love the job as chief executive. And but you're right. Stay tuned because I am taking a look at that race. You know, serious race because I love the state. It's meant so much to my family, myself, and you know I want to see it turned around in a quicker pace.
I understand.
Right. That's great.
I understand. I had asked a question, though.
Absolutely. Everyone does.
I would
yeah.
feel very,
right.
very.
All right. So before we leave, though, we do just want to touch on a few events that we have coming up with IREM. It was postponed, our half-day boot camp for property managers. It was originally supposed to be on March 14th, which has passed, but now it's coming up on March 29th.
Is that because of the snowstorm?
No,
I don't think so. I don't know what the reason was for that. And actually, right now, the conference is going on in New York.
Some other things we have going on in May, it's a two-day OSHA training, and we are actually partnering with ARS Restoration Specialists. In a few weeks, we're actually going to be having Sean come on.
Right.
That's going to be
the last week of April.
The last week of April.
And kind of promote this a little more.
Exactly.
About the the two-day training. It's going to be a gem plumbing. The first day is from 9 to 3, and then the second day again from 9 to 3. So if you work a short day, maybe you can get out of work a little early.
We have a few other things going on with IRM today. If you go to IRMRI.org, you can check out everything from our annual golf tournament to the clam bake and everything else that's going on. Thank you so much, Mayor
Funk,
for
coming
on.
Thank you, Your Honor.
It's been a pleasure.
No, thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jack.
Yes.
Yep,
and
welcome.
If you missed any part of the show, you can search for us on iTunes by searching IRM Today. You can listen to our website on IRMRI.org.
And actually, we're going to be back next week, and Jack is coming back. We're going to have John Marcantonio with the Rhode Island Builders Association.
Yeah, Builders Home Show.
Right before the home show.
The home show is coming up.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
you, Your Honor.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This episode of IRM Today is brought to you by O'Leary Law Associates, offering clients the benefit of over 60 years of combined legal experience in real estate, litigation, commercial, probate, trust, and estate planning matters. To consult with O'Leary Law Associates, please call 401-615-8584 or visit them online at O'LearyLaw.com.